नृपान परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्यष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्यष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम श्रेत्र जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा मैया की मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की गंगा मैया यमुना मैया की वृंद देवी तुलसी महारानी की हरिनाम संकीर्तन की All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवती नैष्टिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 8 एंटाइटल्ड ध्रुव महाराज लीव्स होम वर्स नंबर 33। यस्य यद्दैव विहितम् सतेन सुखदुःखयोः आत्मानं तोषयन् देहि तमसा पारं मृच्छति। यस्य यद्दैव विहितम् सतेन सुखदुःखयो आत्मानं तोषयन् देहि तमसा पारं मृच्छति। यस्य यद्दैव विहितम् सतेन सुखदुःखयोः आत्मानं तोषयन् देहि तमसा पारं ऋच्छति। यस्य यद्दैव विहितम् यस्य यद्दैव विहितम् सतेन सुखदुःखयोः आत्मानं तोषयन् देहि तमसा पारं ऋच्छति। यस्य यद्दैव विहितम् सुखदुःखयोः माताजी कैनॉट हियर यस्य एनीवन यत दैट विच दैव बाय डेस्टिनी विहितम डिस्टाइन सह such a person, tena, by that, sukha dukkhayoho, happiness or distress, atmanam, one's self, toshayan, being satisfied, dehi, an embodied soul, tamasaha, of the darkness, param, to the other side, richati, crosses. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. One should try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life, whether distress or happiness, which is offered by the Supreme Will. A person who endures in this way is able to cross over the darkness of nescience very easily. Purport. Material existence consists of pious and impious fruitive activities. As long as one is engaged in any kind of activity other than devotional service, it will result in the happiness and distress of this material world. When we enjoy life in so-called material happiness, it is to be understood that we are diminishing the resultant actions of our pious activities. And when we are put into suffering, it is to be understood that we are diminishing the resultant actions of our impious activities. Instead of being attached to the circumstantial happiness and distress resulting from pious or impious activities, if we want to get out of the clutches of this nescience, then whatever position we are put in by the will of the Lord, we should accept. Thus, if we simply surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we shall get out of the clutches of this material existence. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Ramo Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing to study Srimad Bhagavatam, the episode of Dhruv Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada writes that this pastime of Dhruv Maharaj is very attractive to all Vaishnavas, and understandably so, because it gives us Jaya Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan Ki Jaya Shri Radha Maharaj. Because it gives us inspiration, clarity, and a deeper understanding of practicing bhakti. There are beautiful lessons which come out from this pastime of Dhruv Maharaj. The approach of a sadhaka, guru-disciple relationship. What is the supreme destination? What are the various destinations waiting for us if we cultivate different kinds of desires? And ultimately the merciful nature of the all-loving Lord. So this pastime, I think it's our destiny to fight against the rain and speak loudly. But yeah. So, I mean, I hope it's convenient to you, the listeners. So, we'll touch upon in this section, by the will, by the arrangement of the Lord, Narad Muni happens to meet Dhruv Maharaj, or he plans to meet Dhruv Maharaj, so to say. Just like Shukdev Goswami met Parikshit Maharaj. So Lord sees the sincerity and the thirst, the hunger in the heart of a sadhaka. If it is really deep and the fire of the sadhaka is really burning very heavily, then Lord arranges for an equal and suitable reciprocation. So then Narad Muni begins to instruct Dhruv Maharaj, and we'll see how this, how he uses various, he presents various arguments to Dhruv Maharaj. And we'll see what qualities we can learn from this episode, and the principles of karma playing out in the life of a sadhaka. So, it's we are practically on the 33rd verse. So, what has happened so far is that little Dhruv Maharaj, only 5 years old, he has been insulted badly by his stepmother. So much so that it has caused him to leave his father's palace. So, I mean, insult at one level is, we also face insults and criticism. But the reciprocation, the response of Dhruv Maharaj is too exaggerated. One, because as Narad Muni says, this is the nature of Kshatriya blood. That at any cost, whatever happens, they will never let go of their prestige. Jaan jaye par vachan na jaye. Ragukul ki reet sada chali aaye. One is their prestige is of topmost priority to them. Second is they will never flee a battle. So, that is the disposition of a Kshatriya mentality. I mean, if we are not of that nature, it's difficult to understand. For a Shudra, his life is dear to him except anything else. Vachan jai, anything go, but I want to hold to my dear life. So, Prabhupada says in Kali Yuga, everyone is, there are very few Vaishyas, and everyone else is basically Shudra. So, we can expect. Therefore, Prabhupada says that our society is meant to cultivate this Brahmanical mentality, where you think beyond aspirations for the body. So, because it is not natural in today's society, therefore we need training in this. So, simple little Dhruva was trying to ascend to his father's lap. So here we see a difference of perspective. The child was seeing the loving lap of his father, whereas the diplomatic mother was seeing the throne. That Dhruva's ascending to his father's lap was symbolic of him aspiring to be the future king. Nowhere is it said that Dhruva Maharaj even thought about it. But this is the nature of critical people, just like Mantara. Even though there was no bad intention in the mind of Kaikeyi, she planted the seeds of envy. So similarly, consciously or unconsciously, Suruchi is just transmitting her mental thoughts and impressions in Dhruva.
So that this shows how careful we should be of hearing criticisms and how careful we should be of fault finders. Prabhupada basically, I mean, we have read this. Associating means when somebody speaks, it is not just their words. It is their words which are drenched in their consciousness. So impact definitely happens. We have seen this in a positive way. When a pure devotee speaks, he or she not only transmits the message of God, but also faith in God. So we feel amazing. This is beautiful. And I think I can do it. So where do we get that faith from? It's not our faith, it's borrowed faith, which comes from the heart of a pure devotee. So equally dangerous and opposite is hearing from an envious person. So, I mean, this is the way of things that had happened in a royal palace. You say something, but you mean something and you intend to hurt. And so, although she said that you cannot climb on his lap because you are not born from my womb. So the import of that, Prabhupada writes, is that she was telling Dhruva that actually you are illegitimate. So you might be his son, but you are not in the line of this royal blood. So to call someone illegitimate, I think, doesn't get worse than that. Second, she says, what you are trying to do is impossible. Don't even try. Forget it. So, what is more frustrating for us is to be blamed for situations that are out of our control. Like basically, what I'm hinting at is prarabdha karma. If somebody blames us for the way we look, our body, our actions, our idiosyncrasies, that is more frustrating because I cannot do anything about it. So that is the line of aparadha. When we point fault at someone for something they cannot change, that then goes into the territory of aparadha and not advice. Advice is what about something someone can change. But if it's something, like basically in today's world, addressing somebody based on their nationality, color, creed, sex, I mean, it's that they term it racist. So even modern context doesn't appreciate identifying and criticizing based on body. So Vedic culture is much more refined. So how can, I mean, just based on body, you should not criticize. Of course, it prarabdha is also our previous karma. But imagine the frustration Dhruva Maharaj would be feeling. Now I am born out of Suniti, I cannot change that. So she is calling me illegitimate. So, and she's telling me to give up my life. So this was the extreme emotion that Dhruva Maharaj was facing, because of which he decided to take this extreme step. And moreover, the greater hurt was that his father, you know, who actually he thought is his own, he remained silent. So that was like, you know, adding fuel to fire. So fine, somebody doesn't like me, they criticize me, but somebody who I think like me, who are my own, they are silent. So then what is the basis of my living? Whom should I live for? So these questions, when they enter the mind, then somebody is provoked to take extreme steps. So, but this is not a regular royal family dispute. This is happening because it's planned by the Lord. So Lord wants to give this pastime a twist, and therefore he arranges things to happen in a certain way. What the beautiful thing that happens in the course of Suruchi's criticism is that she tells him one good thing. That you will not be able to do what you are trying to do. You better worship Vishnu and then be born from my womb, and then we will see. So I think her advice of worshipping Vishnu, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, was to show to her husband that she was devotional, whereas she actually was not devotional. So to make a show of being devotional, she referred to worship of Vishnu. And I think also because it was inherent in Vedic culture that worshipping Vishnu was, if you cannot achieve something or if you want to achieve the impossible, it was said like, aapse nahi hoga, you go and worship Vishnu, then there is a chance. So part of culture, part of her show, so she ended up saying that. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, what is true is not comfortable to hear. So we also know this very, we are familiar with this. When we get good advice, mostly we are not in a position to take it. Because at our level of consciousness, the very reason that we are acting in a certain way is because of our prevalent current consciousness. So if we accept advice at that level, why would we do that thing in the first place? So advice cannot be accepted at the same platform. Acceptance of advice comes because we have some love or some respect for the person who is advising. Just the reasoning to not do something that we are doing, that is not always enough to make us change our course. So that is the role of a guru. A guru can see beyond what we can see. So at some point of time in life, we realize we have tried enough to disentangle ourselves from our problems. As Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, like, shishyaste ham shadi mamtam prapanna. So enough of these friendly talks, Krishna. By myself, I cannot solve my distress. So I need your help. So we have to understand the fact, anyone who comes in our life, who is in the role of a guru, a parent, a teacher, a spiritual master, authorities, we have to accept that they know better. And also we have to accept that we are not self-sufficient in solving our problems. Self-sufficiency may be good, but it has limitations in our journey of self-realization. So Suruchi says, Aradhya Purusham. So this is the link, this is the whole purpose of the pastime in one sense. To create a scene which seems everything is going wrong, but there is one ray of hope that she uttered the right advice. Aradhya Purusham. Even if somebody goes to a satsang and hears everything else, the jokes, the analogies, the stories, but does not get the message of Aradhya Purusham, there is no benefit. It is better to be caught up in a distressful situation, at the end of which you take home the message of taking shelter of Krishna. So, of course, we should cultivate good association, but messages from wherever the right advice comes, we should take it. So, Suniti then, when Dhruva Maharaj comes to Suniti, she says, actually, first of all, she gives brilliant advice that don't hold any grudge or envy towards those who cause distress to you. Because if you wish ill for others, you will face ill upon yourself in future. So first she clears away the envy of Dhruva Maharaj. What remains in Dhruva Maharaj is the material desire to achieve. So the role that Suniti played was to remove the envy so that his pursuit is not motivated by anarthas. He may have desire, material, to have material desire, yeah, we can be calm, we have kama vasanas. But to have envy, I mean, there is hope. When we say cheto darpana marjanam, it means we are trying to clear our material desires. But the rules for chanting is we should not do offenses. And all offenses are based on basically envy. So she clears out the negativity in Dhruva Maharaj's pursuit, makes his pursuit narrower, more focused and well-directed. So she distills the message further. And she says, Aradhya Adokshaja Padma Pada Padmam. So she gives a more personal perspective and a loving devotional perspective to Suniti's, Suruchi's advice. That to fulfill your desire, worship the lotus feet of Vishnu. The reasoning that she gives is that your great-grandfather worshipped Vishnu and he achieved the role of a creator. You want a kingdom, but he became the creator by worshipping Vishnu. So, go ahead, you will definitely get it. And your grandfather, Manu, by worshipping Vishnu, he got not only happiness in this material world, but also liberation. So this is one exclusive thing. Should continue. So one exclusive thing in worship of Vishnu is the award of liberation. So Suniti is trying to eliminate all other options for Dhruva Maharaj. That you may get your material desires by worshipping demigods also, but remember in whose lineage are you. Don't aspire for anything less but for Vishnu worship. Let me know when we should stop. So she also very beautifully, like a very good mentor, she seeing who we are giving advice to, seeing the audience, she reshapes her advice. She knows that he's angry, he's agitated, and he's determined. But ultimately he's also a child. So she also gives the reasoning that why should you worship Vishnu? Because you were hurt by one mother and this mother of yours is not able to help you. But Vishnu is like millions of mothers and he has the affection of millions of mothers. So this is something that Dhruva Maharaj could immediately relate to. That is what he was actually looking for. Affection of his father, nothing more than that. So she's saying, one father, how much affection can he give you? But if you go to Vishnu, he will give you the affection of millions of mothers. So that is a good first step for Dhruva Maharaj to begin. And then his determination to perform austerities is definitely there. So, the beautiful uniqueness of Dhruva Maharaj's pastime is that also in the life, in our lives as sadhakas, you know, we go through various rounds. I mentioned this before, that it's like we go through, when we are running a race, we go through different laps. In lap one, we are doing the same activity, but the motivations may be different. The intentions may be different. The inspiration may be different. But after spending time, after realizing greater knowledge, after our own experience, we then realize, actually my motivations were not so pure. And then in round two, we approach the same process but with purer intentions. So that's exactly what happened with Dhruva Maharaj. Because of the right guidance, he started doing the ultimate process, which is worshipping Vishnu. But in round one, his aspirations were not the highest. So Madhumada Prabhu hinted at this in his class when he said that when we spend years in spiritual life as a sadhaka, we have to constantly refine our motivations, our desires, our aspirations. We might have done the same practice over time, but sometimes after 5 years, 10 years, we realize, was I doing it for Krishna? Or was I doing it for puja, labh and pratishtha? So then reality stares us in the face. Do I want to continue doing something for which there is no return for me? Selflessness, easy to speak but very difficult to practice. Akama sarva kamava. So we should not look down upon Dhruva Maharaj at all for having, for his having material desires. when we reflect and look within, material desires, Guru Maharaj was honest about it, he addressed it, and he outgrew it, outgrew that material desire. But where are we in our journeys? Have we identified them in the first place? Or are we watering the weeds instead of watering the bhakti creeper? So that takes some years to realize. And then it takes courage to continue. And okay, I've been doing something which is not perfect, but nevertheless, Krishna will give me strength if I am. If somebody is sincere, then Krishna reciprocates. There is no doubt about that. So having faith in that, the sadhaka continues. Gaur Charan Prabhu was recently sharing. I was asking him, because you know we heard that he is coming back soon. But he said, not really. The devotees there, the leaders there in Bhakti Center, they need his services more. So he had a sit down with Maharaj. And he had some discussion that Maharaj this and that. So Maharaj said very beautifully. So like all of us, he said that, Maharaj, my consciousness goes through ups and downs. Can anyone of us deny that? So Maharaj said a sadhaka means somebody who pushes through these ups and downs of consciousness. So going through ups and downs is not a fault. Not addressing them is a fault. So therefore, when we practice bhakti with refined intentions, the result becomes clearer. In this context, Gaurang Prabhu, in his VTA classes many years back, he used to say this, that when we are practicing bhakti, with the passing of time, if we don't graduate to the level of a Madhyam Adhikari, then we are not actually going to stay where we are. We are actually going to slip back from where we are. I mean, we can realize it in our lives. So, like Madhu Madhupur also said, we should not just end up being senior. We should actually advance in our consciousness also. So that's our choice. That's the onus upon us. So why does the disciple like Dhruva Maharaj, after hearing such good instructions from Narad Muni, what did he say? He said, thank you very much, but your advice of being having equanimity, of being satisfied, of attributing everything to Daiva, sab Daiva ka khel hai. Be peaceful, everything is... This is nothing, what Narad Muni is saying today in today's verse is nothing but Tattenu Kampa Susumikshamanu. And what is Dhruva Maharaj's response? What would be your response if some difficulties come in your life and and your authorities and or guru advice? Be patient, be tolerant. This is all karma. This is all plan of the Lord. Bhishma Pitama said it to Dhruv Yudhishthir Maharaj, Nahi asya karechit rajan, Puman veda vidit chitam. We cannot know the plan of the Lord, so just be satisfied. So what would be your response? Anyone? Yeah, true. But how would you react? React to your guru's advice or your senior's advice of being peaceful in amidst all disturbances. Yeah. As a sincere disciple, you will be obedient. But what does Dhruva Maharaj say? Dhruva Maharaj says, sorry, this doesn't make sense to me. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur rephrases it. He says that Dhruva Maharaj says, all this lecture of yours on tolerance, let it be for the cowardly brahmanas. I am a fiery kshatriya. So this advice doesn't stay in my heart. So if we actually think about it, if somebody is not responding to situations, it could actually also be out of cowardliness. Doing nothing is also a response that people sometimes display. And because they are so resigned, see that there is that difference between surrendering to Krishna and accepting what comes as your fate and resigning to your faith. Resigning to your fate. So when somebody has a devotional understanding, they don't resign to their fate. They see the situation as a plan of the Lord. But whereas a karmi who has no concept of a supreme Lord, they resign to their fate. I'm not able to get the job I dreamed for. I'm not able to get the salary I dreamed for, or whatever, because people dream for so much more than they can achieve, obviously. So how do karmis tackle their disappointments? They end up resigning to their fate, whereas devotees end up surrendering to Krishna. So that difference, that missing element of Krishna, will not help them become purified of their wrong desires. Whereas when we surrender to our faith, Krishna takes care that we come close to Him. So, another thing is that because we have not realized a lot of knowledge, we are not ready to act upon it. So therefore, when we are told to be tolerant, we have cultivate satisfaction, be equal in happiness and distress, it's very easy to say, but difficult to do. Why? Because Balaram Shakti Prabhu in his classes, he says that we generally are convinced only to act based on our pratyaksha, pratyaksha praman. What we are hearing from scriptures is shabda, right? But till that shabda becomes pratyaksha for me, I'll not be motivated to act upon it. In fact, very funny, but one of the first questions that I asked my mentor very early when I started, joined the ashram. So I asked him, Prabhu, actually what Maharaj says in his classes and what I am observing around me, there is a lot of discrepancy. Why is it so? Then he started laughing at me. So the point is, there is shabda, but we are not yet there, basically. Shabda is our ideology, our philosophy. But we are at the level of our consciousness is based on what we did in our previous lives, our previous karmas. So our previous karmas leave us with a lot of impressions, vasanas. So although we want to practice an ideologies, that baggage of vasanas doesn't allow us to do it, follow it. So Dhruva Maharaj, he has Kshatriya blood, he has been insulted, he wants a kingdom greater than that of his great-grandfathers. So therefore this advice of Narad Muni is not, he's not ready to act upon it, because his previous impressions are much heavier than the ideology that Narad Muni is presenting, which doesn't diminish the value of the philosophy itself. Jai Shri Radha Vrindavan. So that is the tug of war between ideology and impressions. That is exactly the story that Maharaj, analogy that Maharaj talks about when he says that in each of us we have a good dog and the bad dog. So the good dog is the one which where we aspire to follow a high ideology. And the bad dog is one which, based on our previous impressions, it tries to push us into sense gratification. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur probes in his commentary that we think we are enjoying, but actually who is enjoying? Are we enjoying? When we indulge in sense gratification, who is enjoying? This is very heavy stuff, but I'm also finding difficulty as a sadhaka, but because the subject matter is so, and this is the seat where we are supposed to address this. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, it is the senses who are enjoying sense gratification. The sense object and senses, they come in touch. So who is getting the pleasure? The senses are getting pleasure, not the soul. If we are the souls, we identify ourselves as a soul, then we are not even actually ourselves getting pleasure in the process of sense gratification. But the bigger risk is, fine, the senses are getting enjoyment, but in the process of sense enjoyment, who is getting trapped? Not the senses, but actually the soul. So you understand the seriousness of this matter, that enjoyment is happening at the level of senses, but the soul is getting trapped, which is a much more serious outcome. So therefore we should try to reason out that how much worth is this sense gratification. So Arjuna was in a similar situation. He couldn't make sense of his own situation. He was full of anxiety. But there's a beautiful difference between the situation of Arjuna and Dhruva Maharaj. Both were Kshatriyas, both were from royal families. Arjuna, his anxiety, what was the cause of his anxiety? His affection for his family members. And what was the cause of Dhruva Maharaj's anxiety? His hatred for his family members, at least one of them or two of them. So they have both ended up in similar situation based on very opposite situations. So this shows the nature of duality. Affection will also lead one into anxiety, and desisting or being hateful will also land us up in anxiety. So the point is, from there, if we take good advice, we can figure ourselves, we can work ourselves out of the situation. So what did Dhruva Maharaj do? He actually set out for the forest. So this is the sage advice of Prahlad Maharaj, who again was a king and a young 5-year-old. But the difference was, he had met Narad Muni before even being born actually. And Dhruva Maharaj met Narad Muni after he underwent a disturbing situation. So the storyline may differ, but the end result is the same. Why? Prahlad Maharaj says the same thing. Vanam gato vat hari mahashrayad. So go to forest and take shelter of Hari. After being born of such nice samskaras, having the good fortune of hearing spiritual message from an exalted soul like Narad Muni, even when he was in the womb, and somebody like Dhruva Maharaj, who was not so fortunate to have met Narad Muni till this point of time. But at the end of the day, the essence is, somehow or the other, if one gets the advice of Vaishnavas and follows it, you know, the previous story is good, but your future is still the same. So there, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj approached Vanam Gato and Hari Mahashraya, but with mixed intentions. So that makes his case different from the case of other devotees, which itself is a point that is being brought out by this episode of Dhruva Maharaj, that irrespective of, because it's generally a misconception that unless somebody is pure, they should not approach Vishnu. But here Lord is making it very clear, for anything or everything you can approach me. So Prahlad Maharaj was pure in his worship right from the start, whereas Dhruva Maharaj purified his worship as he proceeded. Then Narad Muni mentions that one should be satisfied and attribute happiness and distress to Daiva. So these two verses, 29 verse a few days before and today's verse, both have the words Toshayan or Paritushyet, which means satisfaction, and the words Daiva. So both are essentially giving the same message, that if something is happening to you which is due to circumstance, Prabhupada uses the word circumstantial happiness and distress. So the situation that is created, we should see it like this, then it will be helpful. The situation of happiness and distress which is created in my life is nothing but the result of my previous action. You know, it is like when we play a game, some things are already fixed, like where will the bonus points be, where will the enemy be standing. So they are like prarabdha karma manifesting. And how you choose to act, that will decide if you get the bonus point or if you get killed by the enemy in the game. So we should not be influenced by the reactions, we have already performed actions, and the result of those actions are now creating situations in our lives. So if we further implicate ourselves by responding to those resultant actions, we will create future resultant actions. So basically, we divide karma into three: prarabdha, aprarabdha, and karma, and the new karma that we do. So prarabdha karma means what has already fructified, like basically our body. If somebody is born with certain incapacities or has some relatives, that is already predestined. So what is the way to handle prarabdha karma? Tattenu kampasu sumekshamana. Face them with equanimity. And what is the way to handle aprarabdha karma, something which has not yet fructified? The best way to do it is devotional service. By practice of bhakti, the aprarabdha karma also gets destroyed. And kriyamana karma is what we are doing today. And what is the best way to do a karma is by becoming an instrument in the hands of God. So by that, doing that, we are not fulfilling our desires, but we are actually fulfilling Krishna's desires. So you see, there are three different ways to react to three different types of karma. Prarabdha, by being situated in equanimity. Aprarabdha, by sadhana. And kriyamana karma, by being an instrument. So we know all this, but it's easy to understand when we segregate it. So if you're facing something which is the result of your past action, you should follow taktenu kampa. But if you are doing something new, you should understand that I am creating future consequence for this. Therefore, as this purport talks, only akarma or only devotional service can save us from that. So, Dhruva Maharaj frankly admitted that he was lacking in brahmanical humility. So a very good point that comes out here is that we should not compare between different categories of people. So what is right for one may be wrong for another. So of course this distinction is not so clear in Kali Yuga, but still, I feel it still exists in to a little degree. So somebody may value courage, but somebody else may value honesty. So we cannot see by someone's action and judge them. In fact, that is the responsibility of a guru, to understand the nature, the disposition of a disciple, and to engage him or her accordingly. So it's a very delicate task. Our natures are different, and as we discussed previously, we are in different laps of devotional service. Because I mean many of you would agree that over your years of practicing devotional service, things that you felt were right in the second year of your practice, you yourself feel they were not right in the 10th year of your practice. So we are maturing, natures are different, and we don't know the whole story. So with this, real life becomes so complex that it is ridiculous to judge someone. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, humility means nothing but accepting the complexity of this world. So it's not a big deal to be humble. If we recognize that it's too complicated, there are so many factors at play, karma is at play, natures are at play. So how am I to judge someone? So that keeps us humble. Okay, let me improve myself. So he was honest. So what Narad Muni intelligently did was he focused on Dhruva Maharaj's one quality. He could have said, "You're not humble, man. You have no hope. Spiritual life is not for you. In fact, Narada Muni said that, go home. When you grow up, come back. But that was, of course, because he was testing. In actuality, see, the essence is, we should win the compassion of a pure devotee. However you do that. Prahlad Maharaj did it through his mother, who was kidnapped by Indra. That brought out the compassion from within Narada Muni. That made Prahlad Maharaj lucky. Dhruv Maharaj, his determination brought out the compassion in Narada Muni. So that made him lucky again. So devotional service is the prerogative of devotees, especially Madhyam Adhikaris, the preachers. Unless they are compassionate upon a certain soul, that soul has no hope for bhakti. Because to intellectually rise beyond karma kan, karma, jnana, yoga is not so easy. To even think that I don't want to get caught up in positive results, negative results, why am I suffering and sometimes I'm enjoying, let me get a permanent fix for this. That is the level of jnana, which itself is very difficult to achieve. How many people around us are looking for permanent fixes? They are still doing the patch fixing, then some relief, then again the same problem, then some other patch, then some relief. So that cycle, I mean, lifespans of people end, just vanish in that. And beyond that is the path of bhakti. So how rare, how difficult it is to break that shell of our conviction in fruitive activity, our conviction in our own power to redeem ourselves. So that can be done when a soul meets a pure devotee, that thick shell of karma is cracked and a ray of light enters. So that is even a book by Gaur Govind Maharaj is entitled When Good Fortune Arises. Is it by him? Okay. So yeah, that's basically our story, When Good Fortune Arises. And this is exactly what is happening to Dhruv Maharaj in this case. Good fortune is arising for him. So I was saying that Narada Muni, being an expert preacher and a compassionate devotee, he focused on one good quality of Dhruv Maharaj, which was determination. But from Bhagavad Gita, we know that determination can exist in mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. So Dhruv Maharaj's determination was in mode of passion because he wanted material results. From there, Narada Muni gave him a method to elevate his determination to the level of goodness. Why is the mode of goodness so important? Because it is a platform from where we can transcend to pure goodness. So that is the trick, that is the expertise of a preacher. There is so much negativity, so many faults in someone. But are you able to find one good quality which you can connect, with which you can connect him or her to Krishna? Then you are capable of being a guru. Guru na sasyat, sojano na sasyat. It's very easy to, you know, find fault. Somebody's not clean, somebody's not cultured, somebody's not serious. Most of us, I mean, me at least. So, then Narada Muni further distilled the advice of Suniti, first Suruchi, then Suniti. I'll just put it all together for you. Suruchi said, Aradhya Purusham. But her intention was, do that and then come back to my womb. Suniti distilled it and said, she gave it a personal form and she eliminated all other options. Gave exclusivity to Dhruv Maharaj's pursuit. That, Aradhya Adokshaja Pada Padmam. And what did Narada Muni say? Bhajatam Pravanatmana Pravanatmanaha. So, he's further distilling the same message. So, in anger, out of envy, the advice was, the seed was sown by Suruchi, but then the spiritual master purified it. You know, this reminds me of Prabhupada, when he starts Krishna book, he dedicates this to his father. So, I just saw a beautiful parallel. Prabhupada writes that, I dedicate this book to Gaur Mohan Day, my father, who from the very beginning of my life, taught me how to play mridanga, worship Radha Krishna, Jagannath, do Rath Yatra. he was kind to me and I imbibed from him the ideas later on solidified by my spiritual master, the Eternal Father. So something similar is happening in the life of Dhruva Maharaj, which Srila Prabhupada also acknowledges in his own life. That is, if somebody is fortunate to be born in a devotional family, they get the same impressions. And if somebody like Srila Prabhupada gets a powerful guru like Srila Saraswati Thakur, those ideas can take such shape. He was having Rath Yatra in his backyard and now Rath Yatra is like a world phenomenon. So, you know, that combination of samskara and guru ashraya, that can be supremely potent. So then, that's how Dhruva Maharaj surrendered to the instruction of Narad Muni of achieving a kingdom, but there was a purification hidden in that, which is the essence of the verse, Akama Sarva Kamava. So I'll not elaborate on this because the speaker on Wednesday has to. So the essence is, whether full of desires or devoid of desires, if we worship, if we choose to come to Krishna, He's our well-wisher and He'll give us what is best for us. In addition to what we want, He'll fulfill those desires also. So, these are a few thoughts I thought I'll share on this verse. If anybody has any questions or comments, happy to share. Yes, Prabhu. One more thing before you ask. A very contrasting story to this was when somebody was insulted. I was just thinking, which other episodes are in a similar setting? Insult. Parikshit Maharaj's story is exactly of insult. But he was a Kshatriya who forgave. Here is a Kshatriya who didn't forgive. Then there is story of Avanti Brahmana, who was a Brahmana and he forgave, which is supposed to be natural. So Avanti Brahmana, we know how badly he was insulted. He was urinated, his food was urinated upon. So he was spat on his head. So that is what is expected of a Brahmana. So different situations. Yeah, sorry.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Nice, sharing this incident of Dhruva Maharaj. I just was curious that we say that, you know, we first acknowledge that and recognize that we have so many anarthas, or maybe material desires. One is, we say that, okay, Dhruva Maharaj's case, he was honest, oh, I have these material desires and I want to fulfill them. But if we take that as, a concession or that kind of thing, then it may turn out to be for a practicing devotee, if he is not properly seeking the lessons, then he may take it as, it may turn very easily, honesty can very easily turn into kind of shamelessness. Like, you know, okay, I have material...
Complacency?
No, shamelessness.
Shamelessness.
He may say that, okay, I have material desires.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I said it. Like, you know, so, and I'm going to pursue them like that. So how do we mark that thin line? Like, you know, one is honesty, yes, I have, and feeling, you know, some may feel regret about it, some may not feel regret about having material desires, and some may recognize it, some may not even recognize it. But, you know, how to see that, you know, I don't become shameless saying that, okay, I have material desires and I am okay with it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I will be slowly purified by devotional service. So, how do we understand? How do we mark a thin?
It's ironical that you are asking me, because you are generally my resort of questions, my encyclopedia. But yeah, as you very rightly pointed out, this is a very intelligent and consequential question. That if you are giving concessions, will it not dilute the highest principles? But the beauty of Bhagavatam is, it doesn't over-glamorize a sadhaka. you know, and hides, you know, general modern literature, what we see, if history is rewritten, it's so one-sided. The king was good, he was charitable, he was valor, he had valor, but never ever are the king's or the protagonist's weaknesses spoken about. So one is we should understand the whole pastime. In the episode of Dhruv Maharaj, he himself regrets at the end. What did I ask? Oh my God. So, thing is, it's a personal journey. And whether that repentance or realization comes to us with time, by seeing either with time or by darshan of the Lord or by advice of our seniors, it could come to each of us in different ways. So, but the essence is we should be sincere. Kardamuni, for that matter, he said, Lord, I know that we should not worship you for material desires, but I want a wife. Please give me a wife. So what is that? And why is he in Bhagavatam? Is he shameless? I think that, for me, that makes Bhagavatam even more beautiful.
No, just one, yes, sorry. Sir. I'm not calling everybody shameless.
No,
I'm
no,
just saying.
Not at all. Not at all.
I'm just wanted
that
to
was clarify. Just to make it emphatic. Yeah. Sorry. They are
that's
aware,
not my adhikar also.
Definitely not. It's just some adhikar of the speaker to make the presentation dramatic. It should not be offensive. They are our worshipable role models. But the point is, Kardamuni's story also brings out that if somebody is honest, then the Lord addresses the person at their level. And in the verse Tattinukampa, Sridhar Swami writes that a devotee in his mind may still maintain remnants of his previous sinful mentality. So one way the Lord could address that is by punishing. So that punishment might resemble as consequence of one's sinful activity. That, oh, this punishment is coming to me because I would have done previous papa. But no, sometimes the Lord does it as a special case just to remove those vestigial sinful desires that we might have. So, it is both, you know, as Maharaj says, to those who are dejected, we should give hope. And those who are too proud, we should, you know, what is the exact word? You know, we should bring them back to the ground. So, if somebody is sincere, but he's feeling that I have material desires, so they should be given hope. And whereas the case where you say, where somebody is qualified for much more, he should not consider this as a standard. Standard is the pure devotional service defined by Rupa Goswami. Anya Bilashita. So for us who feel, for those who feel that I want to aspire for a higher goal, we have the standard set. The goal standard is there. Anya Bilashita Shunya. Does that even address that? We could discuss more. Even I'll enjoy it. Thank you. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.